I plan to address four questions. First, what is the natural family?
Dr. Alan Carlson of Touchstone Magazine, talking about his presentation at the one and only 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And second, why is the phrase natural family better than some alternatives, such as traditional family? Third, I mean to address the question, is the Christian family natural? And offer in response a lesson from the Christian past. And finally, I intend to address the question, what does Martin Luther have to say about the natural family? Would he agree with me?
You can meet and hear Alan Carlson making the case for the natural family at the 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Boy, it just appeared, at least it seems to me. I don't pay that close attention to matters of education. My kids are out of school. But it just seems like Common Core was not there one day and then everywhere the next day. And it's had, the better part of a decade since the mid-Obama administration to prove itself. What has been proven about this experimental educational model called Common Core? Joining us to answer that question, Joy Pullman, managing editor at The Federalist and author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Federally Funded Study, Common Core Sunk U.S. Kids' Test Scores. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there.
How did we get Common Core?
Well, it's a little complicated, but I'll make it simple. So if your listeners recall back in 2008 and 2009, as President Obama entered office, the country was in a significant recession. And so the Congress and all of its wisdom decided to drop on the President Obama's desk a huge, basically, pile of pork funding called a stimulus bill. Basically, shovel money out the window, light it on fire, do whatever you got to do, because this is the way that big business and political cronies want us to believe, you know, we can fix economic downturns. So inside that big pile of money shoveled out the door that our grandkids are going to be paying off someday was an earmark for the U.S. Department of Education that was basically no strings attached. Take a big pile of money here, do what you want with it. So President Obama's Education Secretary, Arne Duncan, took that money and I think more than $4 trillion worth and created this program called Race to the Top. And so in it, he told states during a recession when state budgets were just hurting, especially in education, when it, you know, states pay at least a half of their budgets, typically public schooling. He said, here, states, you know, you could get some extra money from the federal government, but in order, you know, to score really well against all the other states that are competing for it, you'll have to do these few things. They had four major things they wanted states to do, and one of them was adopting Common Core, as well as its what turned out to be national, federally funded tests that the Obama administration kind of went on and developed. And so from that point on, it was just a matter of time. States quickly signed up, and before Common Core was even written, already the majority of states had signed agreements with the Obama administration promising that they would switch their entire education systems over to Common Core once they found out what it was.
So with about a minute here, what's the simple layman's definition of Common Core? What is it?
Well, it's just basically a bunch of rules. It's more than 600 pages that I have read of rules for what textbooks have to contain, how teachers have to teach, what tests have to measure for kids in every single grade, preschool through 12th grade, in technically math and English, but the requirements also cover other subjects as well. So it's basically defining the minimum of what kids are supposed to be learning across those subjects in all of their elementary, secondary education years.
We'll get into some more of the details and we'll find out how Common Core has fared. There's research now after about 7 or 8 years. We're talking about Common Core and declining test scores. Joy Pullman is our guest, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Federally Funded Study, Common Core Sunk U.S. Kids' Test Scores. After a conversation with Joy concludes, it's This Week in Pop Christianity today. Jennifer LeClaire and her teaching on spiritual warfare, Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, will be our guest. So you'd think that after 7 years, a hard push, really in a lot of ways, twisting the financial arms of the states to adopt it, Common Core would be a success. Was it? We'll find out next.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about Common Core and declining test scores. Joy Pullman of The Federalist is our guest, author of the book The Education Invasion. Joy, there was a preliminary study published by the Center on Standards Alignment, Instruction, and Learning, and it dealt with Common Core. What did it discover?
Well, it was really surprising, particularly because of the source of this study. So before the Obama administration left office in 2016, in 2015, it sent $10 million to an organization created explicitly from the grant that was supposed to use the money to do long-term research on Common Core. And that organization was staffed with a number of Common Core supporters and advocates. So you would expect that their work would be really supportive of Common Core. And in fact, that was what they were expecting. They said, you know, in this report that they put out, they were expecting, of course, to show what everyone had promised from Common Core, rising student achievement. Instead, they found the opposite. So on every single measure studied on which we have national test scores for kids on this measure known as the Nation's Report Card or the National Assessment of Educational Progress, under Common Core, student test results declined since Common Core went into place. And the researchers also did a data analysis that kind of tried to imagine to guess how student test scores would have gone if Common Core had never existed. And that found that in every single case, students would have done better if Common Core had never existed.
It's not as though they didn't have everybody on board for this thing, is it?
Well, no, I mean, and so another interesting part, I mean, this is a pretty long study, and while I was reading through it, I noticed that they buried these student achievement results all the way in the back. They didn't even include them in a study summary. I mean, now these are preliminary results, and maybe that's coming out in the final study. I don't know. But on the way to getting to those while I was reading through it, I noticed the study authors quoted teacher surveys. You know, there have been many, many surveys of teachers done since Common Core went into place. And so for a timeline for folks, Common Core was basically mandated by the Obama administration in 2010. And it was the first year that it was, you know, it was supposed to be rolled out everywhere across the nation was 2015. So even though it seems, you know, like this all happened a really long time ago, it actually has just in the past couple of years really been fully rolled out into schools. So in the course of this study, they did a number of surveys of teachers, and they found that more than three quarters of teachers in all grade levels said that they have changed at least half of their curriculum materials and instruction in order to fit Common Core. So we're talking about, you know, major changes between what teachers are doing now and what they were doing before Common Core. You know, and I mean, if you read the education news as I do, that, you know, I've been reading it, you know, now for 10 years pretty closely. You know, there's plus stories here. Every single state, you know, all education reporters were out there reporting on what teachers were doing, how they're going to all these conferences, you know, how they're switching out all their books. They're trashing all of their, you know, their teachers' notes. So many, many, many hours that teachers put into reshaping everything they're doing in the classroom to fit this new set of standards that, incidentally, nobody had ever tried before everybody was required to do them. And despite all of that, only are we not seeing students improved one bit, you know, but we're in fact seeing student achievement declines. Things would have been better had teachers not done all of that.
So it wasn't for a lack of trying. In fact, I'm intrigued by the notion that you mentioned before that they at least made an attempt to say, okay, what if Common Core never had been? What would we look like today? What exactly did they discover there?
Well, what they found was they basically did extrapolation. So in my article, I include a couple of images, some graphs that were put into a presentation of this study given to a bunch of researchers last month. And so those graphs show, basically before Common Core in the United States, student achievement had been either relatively flat or, for younger students, slightly increasing. So you see kind of a slight upward tilt in those graphs. And then when Common Core hit schools, the upward trajectory just turns right around. It turns right down again. What the researchers did to try to kind of guess, how things would have gone without Common Core is, take that trend line, pre-Common Core trend line, and just kind of extend it out a couple more years. And again, so they showed that students were more likely, they would have, of course, this is an educated guess, right? You can't prove something that didn't happen. But based on the way things were before Common Core, they judged that things would have been better had, we never done all of these billions of dollars, millions of teacher man hours at all.
Was there any research along the way that predicted these negative outcomes from Common Core?
Yes, there was. I mean, and so I was an early part of, as an education reporter, I caught on to Common Core relatively early, earlier than a lot of other reporters, just because I had, moms and dads emailing me saying, "What is this thing? Can you help me figure it out? I'm not getting a lot of good information." So I kind of accidentally caught onto that just because of my, some sources, asking me to look into it as a reporter. So at the time that Common Core was rolling out, it was very, very lonely to be a skeptic. all the big foundations, all the state governments, state departments of education, and people on both sides of the political spectrum were, supporters, brand name, people with power, people with money. However, despite, all the big names and all the money, they were really overlooking the fact that a lot of research existed before then to say that basically using centralized requirements for what curriculum and tests would look like has been a failure. So this is something that the United States, it's called standards-based instruction. The United States has kind of used that as its big reform idea since about the 1980s and 90s, really took off in the 1990s under President George Bush the First Senior. So standards-based reform was kind of like the big thing that all the smart people, bipartisan, really thought was great. So we had a really long track record to look at of that. And the short answer is that it really didn't achieve anything. So based on that poor track record, folks at the left-leaning Brookings Institution, which although it is left-leaning, tends to be closer to the research than a lot of kind of hack organizations that are floating around Washington, D.C. So their education researcher, head of their education department over there, a fellow named Tom Loveless, put out, a report starting in 2012 saying, "I basically predict that Common Core is likely to not do anything for American kids." But he was the only kind of mainstream. There were also, from the conservative spectrum, there was a group of grassroots researchers or people actually who weren't, they're not even conservative, but they were picked up by the Pioneer Institute just because of their closeness to the data. One of the leading voices in this was Sandra Stotsky. She had run the Massachusetts Department of Education and really taken it from a middling state to the best state in the nation, hands down in terms of student achievement. So she actually had sat on the board of Common Core and had a voice in constructing the standards, and she resigned while it was being created because she thought it was going to be a flaming pile of garbage. I mean, she used more measured terms, but that was basically, the summary. So there were early voices, credible voices, people who knew what they were talking about saying, "Look, guys, we've already been basically trying this at the state level, for 20, 30, 40 years now, and it has not really improved student achievement. Nationalizing that really isn't likely to be more successful." But, that really wasn't what the people with money and power wanted to hear. So they just ignored the data, they ignored the researchers, and they ignored the voices of parents who were saying, and teachers who were saying, "We don't really want education decisions imposed on us from people who have never taught a child in their life, never read an education curriculum before." And that really was what I looked at the bios of every single person, who was deciding writers on the Common Core, and that was their background. Almost no classroom instruction and very little, mostly from testing industry, not curriculum and teaching work. Anyway, so there were lots of early indicators, you know, that this wasn't going to go well, but they were not heeded.
What do you expect to happen now that at least the preliminary research says that Common Core has made things worse across the board for American students?
To be honest, I expect the results to be completely ignored, and basically the folks in charge of education policy and the, you know, hot little think tanks that go around with their nifty ideas about what other people's kids should be forced to do, I expect them to just pretend none of this ever happened. And then when a new generation of parents has moved their kids into schools, them to try the same kind of idea with a new name slapped onto it, using lots of, you know, of money and power, and us to kind of repeat the situation over again. And the reason I expect that is because that's what happened every, you know, single other iteration. So in my book that you mentioned, The Education Invasion, I went through and studied to try to understand where all of this came from. I didn't know anything about it until I did the research. I tried to understand how could something like this happen in the United States of America. And I found that, this kind of thing has been happening for decades. So Common Core isn't the first kind of nationalizing failed attempt that American kids that wasted a bunch of people's time and lots of taxpayer dollars. It's at least the third or fourth kind of attempt in a row. So I expect basically it to happen again because, you know, nothing structurally has changed that would prevent it. The nation is still, you know, we state school systems, public school systems are still at the mercy of distant bureaucrats who will continue to have little to no classroom experience and zero respect for the constitutional rights of Americans to representative self-government, to be in control of what their kids learn, when, how, and the people who are managing those affairs for them.
I want your reaction to Morgan Polakoff, who is, as you say, a widely quoted Common Core proponent, co-director of the organization that did this preliminary research.
Mm-hmm.
And Morgan says, the challenges in studying whether Common Core worked are steep. I think that this is a question more or less impossible to answer. What's your response to that?
Well, my basic response is, you know, you better not get that man within 1,000 yards of my children, or I may, you know, have to get out my mama bear suit. I mean, I think it's appalling. There should be no way that people should be able to use America's 50 million school-age children as guinea pigs in an experiment for ideas that have been proven to be failure repeatedly. It's a national embarrassment. And it's no wonder that Americans, you know, feel angry, you know, at the people who are allowed to fail upward. You know, people like him, I mean, Bill Gates was the financier of this project, the fellow who helped convince Bill Gates and then Arne Duncan and the Obama administration to do Common Core in the first place. His name, David Coleman. He is now in charge of the College Board. He makes $250,000 a year, and he is, you know, has even, you know, he has deep power over what American kids are learning. There have been no negative consequences for these people's absolute disrespect for the rights of Americans to be in charge of their kids' education. You know, instead they get more money and they get more power every time. So that makes me angry, and it's unjust, and it should not be happening under an American style representative self-government. So, I mean, I think the day of reckoning needs to come for all these people who are inflicting failed theories upon American kids. You know, because we're talking about lives here. We're talking about, you know, messing up human beings, you know, giving them poor instruction, which goes on to, it affects their ability to think, to communicate, to hold down good jobs, to provide for their families. You know, this is serious stuff we're talking about here, and it shouldn't be just subject to people who think that it's totally okay to just try out new ideas, you know, and they don't know if they'll work or not. That is completely unacceptable.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Federally Funded Study, Common Core Sunk U.S. Kids Test Scores. You can read it and purchase The Education Invasion at issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
Chris Roseborough is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to do our regular weekly feature with him this week in Pop Christianity Today. Jennifer LeClaire has been teaching on spiritual warfare. We'll find out what she's been saying after this. Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.